Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Wayus.
And this is Ryan.
And this is The Nintendshow, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. It's the first show for the month of March 2021, so it's the Pokemon show.
We didn't do one last month.
We're going to do one this month because they did that their presentation where they showed a lot of Pokemon stuff, including some new game announcements.
Yeah, which is great. There was a dearth of content, and now there is a lot of content to discuss.
Before we get into the that presentation, there's also a update for Pokemon Go just today, you were saying, Ryan, or was it just the trading card game? Anything notable in there?
It's just an announcement that came over the app where they said that they're announcing some kind of like partnership, I guess, between Pokemon Go and the trading card game. And it looks like they're going to be doing something for the other. And then it looks like what they're the only thing that they have announced so far is that starting in, I guess, May, the new packs that you buy will have a chance to include, I think it's Professor Willow, the main professor from the game that gives you like the special adventures that you go on. So he'll actually have his own trading card. And they said, I think in the coming weeks, you're going to start showing off artwork and stuff. So it looks like the trading card game gets whatever first, and then something's going to happen in Pokemon Go, which I'm interested to see. Because that would mean that if it had anything to do with the cards that you get in the game giving you Pokemon in Pokemon Go, that means you've basically de facto got a loop between buying Pokemon cards and having them in your mainline home and having them in Sword and Shield if you feel so inclined. And again, that part is speculation on from what I'm saying, but for sure, what is going to happen right now is that you're going to see actual stuff from Pokemon Go start to make its way into all of the other myriad media
that exists. What's Pokemon. The thing with the cards right now? Like, so a new pack just came out again. There was the Hadron V or whatever.
Yeah, what
People
is
People are
the...
freaking the fuck out over that thing. What and then there's another one.
Yeah. So they had the Vivid Voltage pack, I think, was in October now.
This one's new.
And there's a new pack that just came out, I think, maybe in February.
Yeah. People are freaking out about this thing still.
It's gotten to the point now where it's difficult to even lock in a booster box of these things.
It's nuts. We've always had it's a vendor that does it.
Yeah.
And he'll come in and he'll put the Pokemon cards on the floor by the registers, and he'll go back into toys because we also have another one in toys where we keep Pokemon cards. Yeah. Both those spots are empty, and now any Pokemon cards we get, booster packs, we keep behind guest service and say, you get one. We have to physically control people, or else they just go apeshit. We've had people yelling at vendors and everything about them. Like, where's the Pokemon cards? Like, calm the fuck down. You're 30-something years old, dude.
What has happened? Because this time last year, there wasn't this sort of craze for Pokemon cards with this much fervor.
I think there was...
What happened?
There was some random thing. I think it was in Vivid Voltage, if I had to take a guess. And some card when there was so rare... That was going for absurd amounts of money, and then the fad just brought up again. I don't know what it is.
Oh, it's Shining Fates. Shining Fates.
Shining Fates, that's it.
Battle Styles.
That's the one that just came out. We have some Shining Fates in the store, and the glue was defective, so they were actually popping open the boxes. So we're like taping them shut. We're like, oh, they're not going to give a fuck about that. Like,
Yeah. I mean, and again, that's the other thing is that it's reputable if you were to buy it from a place like Target, right? Like you're saying, you even have a rep. You have a guy that comes in. The problem is when you're trying to buy these things online, like Amazon, if you go to the Amazon Prime and you try to lock in a box, good fucking luck, because they have such a limited supply, and there's only so much that they get through their first party distribution, right? So then after that, you're basically going, you know, through
third party dealers.
Yeah, like literally, it's like fucking a baseball card shop in Cincinnati, who is in there probably weighing the doing all of the shitty, shady shit of opening them beforehand, weighing them out, doing all that stuff to get the value out of them before packing them back up and shipping them out.
Yeah.
So you really can't, it's really difficult to trust who you can even buy these things from anymore. And yeah, right, I think you're like you were just saying, John, like right now we're kind of like at that peak thing. You know how the commercialization of baseball cards and comic books all have these like big peaks and then these huge valleys where the value just goes away. And like I think right now, I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon, but it feels like there's just sort of this sustained momentum from one, young kids loving the shit out of this. Like, my nephew eats these things up. And two, these collectors that have just lost their goddamn
minds. Have you seen this new fad that went nuts? A couple of my coworkers have literally made thousands of dollars off this thing.
Yeah.
It's like trading cards, except the packs that you open are basketball highlight clips. It's all digital. They're just basketball highlight clips. And you'll just see, like, the blonde run up and jump and dunk. And you sell them online through this app like you would fucking trading cards.
But there's not anything actually there.
There's no actual physical thing. Like, there's, my buddy has what? One, and he was showing me the value of it. It's like, I have this clip of, I forget what basketball player it was, and he just ran down the middle and dunked it. $600.
But if you want to see that basketball player running and dunking, you can just jump onto YouTube and find
some kind of highlight thing.
Or you could do what apparently nobody but me does anymore, which is literally watch the basketball games.
Yeah, you can just watch the game, man.
Viewership is actually down.
Tebow's a thing. I don't understand.
Yeah. Like, you can, Tuesday, usually Monday night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you get either a doubleheader or a mainline game that's going to be broadcast on a network. And then on Friday, you usually have a signature game on one of the major networks. And then on the Saturday and Sunday, they're just fucking plugging in content with basketball. There's tons of basketball you can watch at any given time. And yet, like, no one really watches the games. I love watching basketball games. Like, it's like my default form of entertainment. Some people like watching TV shows and, like, scripted things. Like, I'm not watching WandaVision. I'm going to watch the second of four games that two West Coast teams are going to play this year. You know? This is my thing. This is what I like.
WandaVision has gotten better.
I wonder why that is. Like, because sports and live sports, like, it's huge entertainment. Like, it's big business. And you know, we can talk about, like, baseball and attendance being down. And
I was about to bring up the dreaded two words, spring training.
And viewership can be down to it, but there's still huge amounts of money, especially in TV deals for baseball teams.
Yeah.
That's where they make a ton of money, is in these exclusivity deals. It's just very strange that, like, especially when, you know, you can't go to see live sports, it's strange that viewership is down. I wonder if it's, like, sort of indication of some sort of, like, meta commentary that needs to happen, because when people, like, go to see movies, the conversation isn't so much about, like, what happened in the movie anymore. It's like, oh, what's going to happen within the larger ecosystem that this movie is building, or TV show is building.
Well, I should also say, like, the second half of a doubleheader on a Wednesday night is down. If it's a marquee matchup, if it's like, I bet you if it were like a Thanksgiving or Christmas game or something like that, or it was like, they don't do Thanksgiving games, sorry.
I thought the season started on Christmas.
Yeah, it's like a Christmas game, you know, Christmas Day games are big. But like, yeah, if it's going to be like a big marquee matchup between like, you know, say Lakers and Sixers, or Lakers and, you know, Celtics or something like that, you know, that'll
Lakers
be a big
draw. Lakers and Pelicans.
Yeah, no, probably not. Sadly, not the Pels. But it's like in baseball. Like, if you get, you know, I'm sure Dodgers-Giants is a big draw on the West Coast, in the same way that, you know, Red Sox and Yankees is a huge draw on the East Coast.
So. Yeah.
What's that thing you got there?
Oh, it was funny that you were mentioning basketball, like this new form of digital basketball cards, because the largest...
Which is wacky shit. I don't... Ugh.
Yeah, as I understand, this is the most that a card has ever sold for. Luka Doncic's rookie card was sold for $4.6 million.
Oh my God. God damn.
Yeah. Do you guys know who Luka Doncic is?
Not a clue.
He's...
apparently a guy who's worth $4.6 million on a piece of paper.
Right. Yeah, yeah. He is basically coming out of nowhere. He's been a hot shot the past few years. I think he's 21 years old. And he played in the Spanish league, and he is from, I want to say, Serbia.
So his rookie card's not even that old. I mean,
yeah, his rookie card's only a couple years old. And I don't know what the deal is with this card to make it so special, but at any rate, yeah, $4.6 million for a basketball card.
But dude, to your point, what you were talking about earlier is about this Pokemon card thing not going away anytime soon. Sometimes these things do take years to sort of settle themselves out, with like comic books being the primary examples throughout, especially once you get into the early 90s, there were people just buying up comic books because at a certain point people decided, like, hey, these older issues from the 60s and 70s are worth vast amounts of money now because there's not a whole lot of them and people want to buy them. So they end up thinking, okay, the things we buy now are going to be worth something at some point. And now, like, comics that you bought in the early 90s, they printed so many of them that no, they're not worth anything anymore, because people were buying 5-6 copies of individual issues of comic books and stashing them away, thinking, I'm sitting on a gold mine here. and the industry started to become super saturated because the comic publishers were thinking like, oh, we're selling hundreds of thousands of copies of these. Start printing more because our audience is growing really huge. The audience wasn't growing really huge. The dorks were just buying tons of multiple copies. So when everyone got wise to the situation, sales bottomed out and the market was just super saturated with all these issues that now will never be worth the hundreds of dollars that people thought they were going to be worth when they were buying them.
Yeah, and it's just funny. Probably funny because it's like there is a many, many decades long narrative within these comics, and like there's just these storylines for no deserved reason are the ones that are the most circulated. There's mm-hmm. just such a glut of them out there for people that want to catch up on the stories. It's like, oh, you know, your 90s content is pretty much a penny a piece.
Which is funny because in comics, I'm going to get into Pokemon here in a second.
What?
But X-Men comics in particular, there's not a whole lot of nostalgia for the 90s era. Like, there's a lot of nostalgia for, you know, the late 70s and into the 80s when Chris Claremont was running the show. But the general sort of attitude about the comics of the 90s, they were fine. There wasn't anything mind-blowing in there, but they're some of the best-selling ones because of that sort of perceived value that they were going to have somewhere down the road. And now, like, if you want to go and read these 90s comic books, you can, but there's not this huge demand for them. But there's a shift in the sort of tone. It went from, you know, the Chris Claremont style of, I'm speaking to X-Men exclusively here because that's what I read.
Just a couple of them.
I've read a few. I just started 2006. So I'm getting almost to the point where I first started. I'm getting up there. And meeting in the middle. But you have this shift from this sort of carousel of characters that all are sort of like have their own journey that they're on, whether they're like going from hero to villain and villain to hero, or expanding.
Just like that.
They are going to come after us. You need to stop. I know what you're doing there, and they're going to get wise. They don't fuck around. Or you have like characters that like their powers expand and then they get benched or their powers get taken away. You know, you always have some sort of like a new journey that all these characters are going on. Whereas when you hit the 90s, it's just, okay, let's build toward the next big crossover event, because crossover events became very popular. And the next big villain, the next big action sequence that you have to take on. And because of that, you don't really have the same sort of attachment to the storylines, because it's just about like the next cool thing that Wolverine does.
It almost sounds like you're talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean, honestly, I feel like that whole thing has just totally lost momentum.
Well, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, to your point, and these are all movies that I like. I enjoy them all. But it is very much about, let's get to the next thing. And like we were talking about earlier, in veiled terms about the MCU, the conversation is about what's the next thing, not what's the thing we just saw. Let's think about the thing that we're looking at. It's like, what are they going to do next?
Yeah. I almost feel like we're recording the After Dark first.
You're right.
By the way,
we could just wrap this, just keep this going at After Dark and then just change the intro. I mean,
but then we have to talk about trading cards again.
Back to trading cards, though. I'm not kidding. So I actually looked it up, the place that actually sold this. It's a place called Layton Sports Cards. You want to know where this place is?
Layton Sports Card. Let me guess. I am Dallas. Going to... Wes, you're saying Dallas?
Sure.
Okay. I am going to say Kansas City.
Would you believe Altamont Springs?
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm not kidding.
That's amazing. That's like 15 minutes that way.
Bingo. Exactly. It's over by Wekiva Springs.
Yeah.
And yeah, and
otherwise
hearing that...
Otherwise, we pass the I-4 crossover then.
It's actually right on top of I-4. But then that changes the narrative entirely about this whole thing, because this is not a legitimate deal. This is obviously money laundering. Welcome to Florida. We launder money like nobody's business. I'm sure somebody thought it would just be a fucking hoot if you haven't be done with a rookie card from some guy that's been in the NBA for 3 seasons.
Oh my god. That does change everything.
Man, I'm going to put on my detective cap. I'm going to get to the bottom of this one.
Yeah, all right,
monocle.
If I disappear, by the way, that's totally what happened. Look up this guy, Layton. He probably killed me.
This podcast would be used as evidence in a court of law.
Yeah.
You're murdering.
Oh, we ought to be fucking filthy as shit then. Yeah. We're submitting this as evidence. We're going to testify, Wes, me and you.
It's like, we don't know how Ryan fell off of that 5-story building onto 3 bullets.
I suspect foul play.
Yes. See, now this is the perfect opportunity for you and I to murder him. And pin it on Liam.
You need to follow that up with, we're just kidding.
We're just kidding. You haven't got me yet, fellas.
Okay, so there was a Pokemon presentation.
Who?
Pokemon.
Huh?
You know, the Pocket Monsters.
Oh, yeah, those guys.
Oh, yeah, Digimon?
Sort of. So, there was a 20-minute presentation. The first 10 minutes was the sort of sizzle reel of nostalgia.
Ryan's text during the middle, because I was actually watching it when you sent that text. I was like, this is weird.
What text?
Yeah, which one?
I sent a lot of
texts. It's just the one dude sitting at the desk, and he's like, I'm just retentive. Just, yeah, fucking it up. Ryan, you say it.
I don't even remember what I said. Shit, but I know what you're talking about.
Just a typical Japanese businessman. Like, oh,
I'm Japan businessman.
Yeah.
It's like, my programming is pleased to announce the following offerings.
There is something robotic about their presentations. They haven't quite nailed, like, and it's typically Masuda sitting behind a desk.
I mean, I don't need them behind the desk and talking to me at all. Just show me. I don't need to see their faces.
And isn't it weird how we've sort of like come sort of full circle to where when Nintendo first started doing Nintendo Directs, and now the Pokemon Company and Game Freak have sort of emulated that style. But when they first started doing Nintendo Directs, like, oh, this is so cool. There's a person on the screen and it's going to introduce things, and it feels like it's like an event. And now it's like, dude, just fucking show the trailers. Get to the commercials right fucking now.
I don't know what fucking Bethesda's guys looks like, or Sony. Like, I don't know who the fuck guys are.
Oh, I know what Todd looks like. I know damn well what Todd looked like, that slimy fucking worm.
I think it's cool that they do it, though, honestly. Because they've got the little props and stuff up there, and I don't know, it's funny to see these guys be so, like, stuffy and professional about all of this.
It's fine. They're Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah, now you can see Charmander run freely in the, like,
It would be cool if they, like, had some more, like, personality. They seem like they were having fun with it, but yeah, it's important to remember that they probably did not sign up to be internet personalities. They're game developers and business people that just have a camera shoved in front of their face. Like, you talk to the nerds.
They need to be like that guy back in E3 years ago that came on the stage with a lab coat and the two, like, ink guns.
Oh, no,
Splatoon 2.
Yes.
It was hilarious because he's doing this, and you could tell at the same time he's like, I'm a fucking adult. Like, I feel stupid. Like,
that might have been E3, but that also might have been the Switch unveiling.
I think it was.
Because, like, the audience was not, like, people from, like game enthusiasts. The audience was, like, investors and shit. So when he's, like, out there, like, flinging these guns around and, like, distorting his body into the shape of a 2, it wasn't the place for it. So it was met with, like, zero reaction. And meanwhile, like, I'm, like, sitting behind my computer screen, arms in the air, like, yes, Splatoon 2! And everyone in the audience is, like, just dry golf clapping. Okay. When are you guys making mobile games?
Jeez. I don't know. To that point, I like it. I think it's good that they do this. I mean, there's just something kind of delightfully camp about the way that they approach it, too. Mm. That they're not over the top, and that they're doing it. Like, again, like, they're announcing quarter earnings or something, but they're trying to be very professional about it.
It's a sort of reminder that there are human beings.
Do you think they ever get that products mixed up whenever they are doing quarter business meetings and everything?
That would be fucking hilarious if they just got a bunch of people in Pokemon suits just come running out and just, like, start fighting to the death.
Well, they're just, like, slinging yen on them, just like, who's gonna win this fight?
Nintendo used to do this, like, back in, like, the heyday of the Wii, like, 2007, 2008, 2009.
They used to do costumes and slinging yen?
No, the business thing. Like, they would go to E3, and they would treat it as if it was, like, a sort of investor briefing. Because that's what the E3 used to be. But by the time, like, the Wii was in its heyday, it wasn't that anymore. It was a place to make all of your, it was a place to do your commercials.
Yeah. Now it's a mechanism to traffic Keanu Reeves.
So they would get out there and they would say, this is how many Wiis we've sold, and this is how much money we make. And it's like games journalists, it's press in the audience, not investors. So everyone's kind of sitting there like, we don't give a fuck. Where are your games? Anyway, Pokemon Snap, they showed a new trailer.
Yes.
What'd you think, Wes?
I am so fucking excited.
Yeah.
I have no idea. This is why, this is, oh.
You ready for those rare moments?
Oh, I'm super ready. Yeah. You can edit the photos now? Fuck yeah. They don't have a zoom feature, but I can edit it now, so let's fucking go.
Yeah, so you're kind of zooming anyways, in the editing process.
Yeah, so you can snap whatever the fuck I want. I'll fix it later.
And we don't know for sure. They haven't showed a zoom feature while you're taking pictures, but there might be.
Yeah. I'm super pumped about this.
Yeah, I think that they've shown a nice, diverse mix of the Pokedex. If they're not all there, whatever, that's fine. It seems like you're getting a ton from all over the generations, so that's pretty cool.
They're really cramming a lot of Pokemon in every little nook and corner of the screen, too. Like, a couple of those shots you see, there's, like, 30 Pokemon.
You're, like, trying to take a picture of one of them, and there's, like, three more in the background.
Out of the way, Psyduck.
Like, holy fuck.
I got a picture to take here. What's the blue orb that you get to throw that, like, lights everything up and makes them freak out?
Just makes them glow, that's it. Like, it's a little extra thing. And also, like, it showed the thing with score button, like, his fire turned blue. You're like, oh, that's cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
You get apples.
Yeah, that was a thing in the first one. They were straight up apples. This one they're calling them berries.
And that's how you like draw Pokemon out or lead them to another.
Exactly. Thing. Like in the example I'm using here is in the first stage of the first one, it was on a beach and there was a surfboard and there was a Pikachu, and if you throw apples and lead Pikachu to the surfboard, he'll jump on it and start surfing. Like in the sand. It's just leaning against the sand.
And you have a sticker of that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a sticker of that on my Pokemon binder for my cards.
Total badass. 100% badass.
Yeah. Nice. And then I got one of Meowth that when you do the same thing, he'll just yell Meowth and freak the fuck out.
Well, and they already showed you that there will be a surfing Raichu.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they got the electric psychic Alolan form.
Is it the Alolan form in there?
I don't know.
Actually, yeah, I didn't really... The Raichu?
There is that. I didn't get a close enough look at it in the trailer to say, but I thought it was.
What, the Raichu?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Okay. Yeah, that was all on the Raichu surfing.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they'll have regular Raichu in there as well, or it's going to be,
I don't know,
here's Alolan Raichu. Because they're not in the Alola region.
Game starts when they open the coffin, and they're just like, this was the last Raichu. Here's your camera.
So.
Just want to move on.
Or is it, because it's not the Alola region, it's in the Lentil region.
Right, yes, of course, why not?
Which is just adjacent to the Lima region.
Yes, there has to be one of all of the various beans now, or legumes out there. They get their own regions for which Pokemon exist in. Yeah, hey, which, by the way, do you think the Lentil region has any regional variants?
I will find out.
Mm. That'd be cool.
I wonder if there's any sort of... Well, I was going to say, I wonder if there's any sort of, like, connectivity with home or anything like that, but I guess you're not actually capturing the Pokemon, you're just taking their picture.
I just want a fucking way to print these photos. I want Blockbuster to come back, let me take my Switch into Blockbuster, dock it on the dock, and download my fucking Pokemon cards. My binder.
You got the inside hookup. You should ask your guy if there's any plans to distribute any printing machines to Targets.
Oh, here
because
we go.
Because it's not till it's the end of April. It's like 3 months away, right? Or, well, no, like a month away. But still, I think that's time for them to like have enough print shop set up. And if it's all digital online, I feel like he would just go in and say, like, here's my ticket number or something. Can you print this?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably like ways you can work around it, because you can like post these pictures to social media. So they're transferable off your Switch. So... worst case scenario, if there are not print stations, which there should be. Yeah. But if there are not, you could just get them to a computer.
As I say this a lot, I feel like we're being so old man archaic. Because, like, wouldn't the big thing would just be that, like, instantly hit Instagram or something like that? Or they go to Instagram or Snapchat or some other thing?
I think it's going to be, like, Mario Maker. It's just strictly through the app, the game.
Yeah. They did mention sharing on social media, didn't they?
I don't think it's social media. I think
this new form of social media that they've created called Pokemon Snap.
Yeah. That they'll bring back the Miiverse and share your pictures on there. They're bringing back Miis. It's a Mario Golf and a Miitopia, so Miis are a thing again.
And on the photos that you can upload through the thing, your Mii shows up on the corner.
Oh, that's good.
Of the photo, so they see the person who made it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's perfect. You can add like stickers to your pictures to make them look super dumb.
I hope that there's, like, it's not just your me there, but it's, like, you mugging the shot where you're, like, pointing at it and, like, looking at the source of the camera picture and just be like, hey, look at this shit, you know? And it's just, like, a couple of Growlithe fucking.
Oh, man. See, in the original Pokemon, there was also, like, the Pokeball smoke bomb thing. where you throw it at something and like poof, a smoke goes off. That was always fun, just to bean somebody in the face with it. It's just,
I think that's it seems like that's being replaced with the
glowy orb. Yeah, like it's gotta be more peaceful. We can't just start throwing things at Pokemon.
Yeah, we don't want to just like annoy these Pokemon with smoke. We don't want to give these Pokemon asthma.
Oh, I did all the time.
I feel like that happens.
So we're going to irradiate them.
I feel like that happens in one of the very first episodes of the Pokemon animated series, where Ash is just like learning how to catch them, and he just fucking chucks one right into the face of a Spearow or something.
Oh, sure. No, he throws a rock.
Oh, is it a rock?
It's a straight up rock.
And then the animation is priceless, because it's like the thing gets just like straight up headshotted by the rock. It's just got this like face where it just got blasted out. It's great. It looks like it's got punched.
And also, to that point, in Pokemon Red Blue, when you go to the Safari Zone, you are throwing rocks at the Pokemon in there. Or you like you throw them some bait, so they start munching on a snack, and then you hit them in the head with a rock. And then you try to catch them.
Wow.
Anything else about this Pokemon set? There's possibly a day-night cycle, or re-entering areas at a different time of day.
That would be really cool. If they did that to change the way that the maps are and everything like that, just to change what Pokemon are at according to time of day. That would be really freaking cool.
I think, I could see a couple of interesting things they could do with this, where it's like, you have to set up a series of events, where it's like, if you want the thing to happen at like the 3/4 mark of the map, you have to have like, done this one thing over here, taken a picture of this over there, like, hit a number of achievements, and then the cool thing will happen at the end.
Yeah.
They also show us a Celebi, too, which is like, I can't imagine, I mean, maybe it is, but I can't imagine the Celebi is just like a guaranteed thing that happens all the time. I would be interested to see if there's going to be some very rare, you know, rare moments that can occur like that.
I would conjecture that the thing you're talking about, like having to set up a series of events.
You would speculate.
I would suspect, thank you, that in order to have that Celebi show up, there are other things you have to do previously, like maybe interact with
certain
Pokemon.
Yeah, you have to murder a few of them first.
Yeah.
Just...
Spill the blood of the innocent.
Commit some light treason.
Yeah,
and
no big deal. It's cool that the different maps also are a little bit more extreme than the last one, because there was like, we're on the beach, we're going through the jungle, we're going to a volcano. Now it's like under the water.
The Netherlands.
It's
Detroit.
A desert. Like, I hope there was one that where you're just flying through the air. I just want nothing. I think that'd be really cool, too. Just surrounded by flying Pokemon.
And of course, there's cool. A lot of potential here for future expansion if they want to do a DLC, or God forbid, free updates to where, like, hey, here's another track that you can go on that's got some different Pokemon on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm excited. I hope there's a lot of tracks. I'm super excited. You have no idea.
I think one of the concerns that I hear from, you know, the punditry crowd around this game is they don't know if there's going to be enough content to sort of justify the price tag. I'm not concerned about that at all.
No.
I think that there's going to be plenty of content here to keep people busy for a long time.
I paid that much for the last Pokemon game, I would. I mean, that game had a lot of content, and that was a fucking N64 game. I paid $60 for that thing. It was great.
Not on the Wii, you didn't.
On the Wii, I did not. No, I think I paid $20 for that thing.
I don't want to ruin this for you, John. By its truest definition, this is a first-person shooter.
It is.
Oh, shit.
No, I'm gonna...
Are you holding off, or are you buying this day one?
I wasn't going to say anything. I'm probably not getting this day one.
You guys, fucker.
You guys try to do all the heavy lifting on this
Cloud.
One.
You
charlatan. He doesn't even care. He's gonna play
your
his
fucking... kids would love this.
Yeah, he's going to... your kids would love it, and you'll ignore them. You're going to play your fucking PlayStation, I bet, is what you do.
Maybe.
You sell out.
I am playing a game on my PlayStation right now. Don't you fucking call me out.
Wait, what are you playing right now?
Persona 5.
You're playing... I like you how many games? I like you like 4 games.
You need to like take a serious look at my collection of games and think, does John want to play Infamous? Like, what sort of clue have I ever given you?
I thought you
that
wanted. It was a good game.
At all interested in Infamous.
I'm giving you games that you could try out that are different than what you typically play. That's why I grabbed. It's like, John may like this, and it's different than what he typically plays.
I'll get to him eventually, but first I'm going to play the ones that I want to play, which are mostly remakes
if
of PS2 games.
I'll take it home. I don't give a fuck. I'm just giving you the option.
No, I need Resident Evil 2 and 3. I need Shadow of the Colossus. I need...
No, I downloaded that.
Final Fantasy VII, which was good.
You played it.
Yeah. I'm going to do it again. Maybe not for a few months, but I'll go through that. Those are real good. Anyway, this isn't the PlayStation show. There are more Pokemon games to talk about.
Yes.
There's
two more, to be exact.
Yeah, which I'm going to take a victory lap. Nailed it. Pokemon Diamond Pearl remakes. We did Gospel or Gossip. I said Gospel. I don't remember what you guys said. But yeah, I was right, as I always am. And these games are being remade.
Well, I remember because the thing was, it was like an announcement that said that, you know, there's a chance that this could occur.
Mm.
And then, you know, you were sort of like, yeah, of course it's happening. And then I was like, but based on what? And you're like, a hunch.
Yeah.
Essentially nothing.
I think my exact words were wishful thinking.
Yeah. I mean, and we're due. I don't think it's that big of a reach to say that it was gonna happen.
No. I wasn't surprised at all when that Twitter thing popped up. I'm like, yeah, no shit. Like,
yeah, it would have been.
It's the format that I think everybody was wondering about.
Right.
Like, now that we've had so many different kinds of Pokemon games come out, what were they gonna do for this?
And you know,
and it was none of them. was their answer.
when we were talking about this, the discussion was like, is it going to be a Let's Go style? Is it going to be Sword Shield style? And the person who was closest to the pin on this one, I think, was Wes.
What did I say?
Because he said, no, they're just going to straight port it over. And I mean, they're not. That's not what's happening.
No.
But they are remaking it in a very faithful style.
Yeah.
And they even said, and I think the funnest thing that they said from this in this announcement was it's being developed by a company called Ilka, who does not make Pokemon games. It's,
by the way, good on Game Freak. Good on them for knowing that they should have brought in a third party. That maybe that this is the stress test for them, where it's like they're trying to do too much. That if they want to accomplish all of these things, maybe good to bring in someone else to work on a side project like this.
And I think that the next announcement, the Pokemon Legends announcement, is really the proof that, like, okay, we're going to bring in somebody else.
I think they're going to be cowards. I think it's because they're cowards. The Pokemon fans are so angry all the time.
Yeah.
Let's pawn it off so we can put the blame on somebody else and they don't like the remake.
Oh, you don't like the art style? They're doing
we
it.
We didn't
like,
make it. I don't know what to tell you.
No, see, like, the thing is like, people are so ignorant to how game development studios work. Like, they're going to blame Nintendo for the art style.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Whereas, like, Nintendo's like, we're just showing you a commercial. I don't know what you want from us. But I think that is, like, the biggest, I guess, talking point around this game right now is the visual style. I do not like it. I think that this is a ugly game. However,
you're buying it day one and playing through it twice.
Yes, of course. Like, it's still a Pokemon game. I'm going to have a lot of fun with it. I didn't like the art style in the Link's Awakening remake either, but I played that game twice. It was fun as shit. Like, I'm shallow enough to say I don't like this, but I'm not so shallow that I then won't play it.
Well, I think I think that is a very very shallow comment some people are making, is like that they don't like that it's the chibi art style.
Mm.
But then somebody was like, literally Gen 6 is when they moved away from that, and it's because they had the graphical integrity to do so. But like prior to that, all five gens prior to it had the pixel. It was like 3/4 of the body was ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. This isn't the first time we've done
very different.
And
they're just colorful. Yeah.
I just think that looks better when you're using sprites. Personal preference. But again, like, this isn't a game breaker. This is a game breaker for anyone. Grow up.
I mean, it does look like a bunch of memes, me's walking around.
Yeah, it does.
Hey, don't compare this to Bravely Default.
wait a minute. He's got a point on that.
Yeah, those character models aren't great either. But really like that game.
No, I know. I'm not trying to drag that game. No, I actually don't mind the art style. It does. If anything, I'll say it didn't wow me. It doesn't look particularly adventurous or special or good.
It's fine, but they still have time. They still have time. This game is still at least 6 months away, so there's time to like clean things up. It probably won't change drastically. But
it's a giant steaming pile of fine.
It is inoffensive.
It's, you know.
What they didn't show us is what they intend to change. So, I mean, I'm assuming they're going to do a couple of things. Like,
You'd hope so.
Somebody literally posted a video of a level 100 Blissey getting taken down by a counter. And it was 46 seconds long.
Oh, my God.
For the health bar to deplete. Almost an entire minute for a full health
change. This is under the original, Blissey, right?
Yeah.
They haven't shown any though.
Like, that's the sort of thing where it's like, obviously that's not, that should not have happened.
People keep forgetting that they did this game on, it was the DS, right?
It was the first Pokemon game on the original DS. It was not optimized.
Exactly.
It got better.
Yeah, like it was their first one on this new system and everything. Like, of course, so the thing chugged.
One would hope that the technical integrity of this game is more up to snuff, being the third Pokemon game they're going to be releasing on
this
system.
Is a faithful remastering, John. Those health bars are slower now.
Speaking of which, by the way, if you guys ever do a triple battle in X and Y,
with
the three legendary birds on both teams facing each other, it's less than a frame a second. The game cannot handle that.
That's a joy.
That's wonderful. Oh, no, but, like, yeah, I want to see that. I want to know if they're going to stick with this whole HM model, because that's so... Now that they've given us a world in which that doesn't happen, it seems so archaic and stupid.
It's a faithful remake of it. It's not going to be any different.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to then equip the moves.
We're going to have to move the fucking Psyduck, our fucking Zigzagoon, and have Bidoof use defog, Bidoof, and use defog. I mean, that's the shit that's going
to
happen.
If I were to make a conjecture.
Okay, please speculate.
I would speculate that the HM shenanigans are probably going to be intact. I hope that they are not. I hope that it's just like calling a Pokemon. It defogs the route that you just unlocked.
Oh, yeah, like they did on Sun and Moon.
That's
what
they did with Aurus as well, right? Like, you didn't have to... I believe Aurus did that, right?
No, I think Aurus still had HMs.
Yeah, they still had HMs and everything. It was only Sun and Moon that did that.
Sun and Moon, they did that. Okay, yeah. Then, yeah, that's all that they have to do is just have a Pokemon dedicated to the thing that does the thing.
And it'll be interesting to see how they handle the Pokebox, too, because, you know, in more modern Pokemon games, you can now just access the box from anywhere. Is that going to roll over as well?
Oh, hell no.
Are they going to? I would probably guess that you are correct on that.
It's literally going to be a photocopy of the old game. They just made it look pretty. That's all it's going to be.
Well, they made it look different.
They made it look colorful.
Yeah. I think they're going to
bring... And chibi.
It wasn't in this, but they will bring in beauty contests. Beauty contests are bad.
I enjoy the beauty contests. I don't know why you guys are...
There was a different sort of contest in this, and I can't remember what it was, but this is from the era, you know, what was it? They probably started with Gen 3, but like from Gen 3 to Gen 6, they always had like the contest halls where it was like making a movie or something, but there was always some sort of shit. That seems to have fallen by the wayside, which I think is for the better.
Really, I like the beauty contest. It's like, this is my gym team, and these are my guys that I want to do beauty contests with.
I think that's totally fine, like, if it's something you completely ignore. But I think it was in Gen 3, you had to max out your Phoebus's beauty stat to get it, so you had to do.
In order to get to Melodic.
Right, in order to get
to... So if you want to use it, put in the work.
No.
You don't want work?
This coming from the guy who's like, Pontiard doesn't evolve until level 50. Put in the work.
Yeah, but, I mean... You have to kind of work. At that point in the game, you're almost done with it. And you're like, eh.
No. Contest halls are good that they're gone. Ugh. No more contest
You're
halls.
Also talking to the guy who actually made a gold chocobo in Final Fantasy VII. I put in the work.
That's pretty respectable.
I ran to that island, and I got my Knights of the Round materia.
Did you sell that save file?
Oh, fuck no. That was on my...
Oh, no.
Well, maybe. Probably not. You
should do it again on Switch. Put the work in.
I mean, I have it. I probably will. I touch that game bit by pieces here and there.
You touch that game bits and pieces?
I do all the time.
Gross.
Turn your head and cough.
So, Shining Pearl, Brilliant Diamond, those are the remakes. Oh, something that absolutely does need to carry over, and I fear that it will not. Like, my God, it needs to. Is in the original Gen 4, there were those like customizable Pokeballs. You can put like stickers and shit on your Pokeballs. Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
I don't remember that at all.
Which would be so fucking cool. It was in, I think it was in the town where the daycare was. It was kind of like tucked away. So it wasn't something that if you're just doing Critical Path, you might not encounter.
I wonder how, because I'm assuming there's going to be some kind of connectivity to home.
There has to be.
Right? So like, what would happen if you were to take that and transfer it to home? Would it still update home? Yeah.
They would just do an update for home.
Yeah, and then what about when I want to put it into Sword and Shield?
They'll just take it away and cleanse the Pokeball.
No, they better not.
Purge How the evil from it.
God. But see, that's why I want the custom Pokeballs in there to begin with. Like, I want those custom Pokeballs so that when they go to home and then into future games, you always have that custom Pokeball with you.
Well, yeah. Maybe in future games they'll just have that feature. Mm-hmm. But like Sword and Shield, unless they do an update to accommodate for those special balls.
They better. I'll write them angry letters. I'll do it.
But back to Pokemon Snap.
I hope it's actual letters too. It's not email. You're writing these letters by hand.
Written in using crayon.
Ink and quill. Just.
And oh shit, they're stickers.
And oh shit, they're...
Just want to bring up, in Pokemon Snap, there will be ball control. So Wes, I look forward to seeing how you handle ball control in the future.
In Pokemon Snap?
Yep, that's what they said.
There's ball control.
There will be.
Bear,
anything else about
crack my knuckles and get my
fingers
moving, stay limber,
keep my fingers limber.
Anything else about the Gen 4 remakes that we need to touch on before we move forward?
No, I mean I'm generally excited for
you're it. Starting with Chimchar.
Yes,
you're starting with,
although I am tempted to start with Turtwig.
I mean, I like I like Piplup the most of the starters. I would probably least want to use the fire, but whatever. I mean, again, John, you said that you're really worried that there's not enough fire types in it. Right. I think as long as something has a flamethrower, I'm happy. I don't necessarily feel like I need to have something that
is. Pick up your Skuntank. Tank.
Yeah,
I like Skuntank.
I do like Skuntank, and that gen was good. It was enjoyable.
Well, it says here Houndoom. I guess if you get Pearl, you get Houndoom.
Yeah, that was the one thing in Pearl. Was like, sick.
That might be after the. We'll see what happens because it's a faithful remake. If they do stick very stringently to that, you only get access to 150 through the main game. And then once you beat the Elite Four, the National Dex becomes a thing. And Houndoom and Houndour, you don't access until after the National Dex expands.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about that.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, again, it's not a deal breaker. I wouldn't necessarily feel like I need to have a fire type. It'd be fun, though. Honestly, but the game this game works, I'm probably going to have all three.
Yeah.
I imagine this is going to be the scenario where I'm just bringing in as many as I can.
Yeah, as soon as there's a Ditto around somewhere.
Yeah. I actually have a shiny Piplup and go. So if there's a way to transfer this all around, I may just do that.
Oh, man. I can't imagine that there wouldn't be any sort of home connectivity. Like, that's how they do everything now. That's how you're doing your wireless trading and everything. And wireless trading was a big thing in Gen 4. It's where internet trading became a thing.
I'm either going to do Turtwig or Piplup. Probably Piplup because I just... fucking love that little bastard. It's been so long since I've used one.
Sounds like you guys are going to force me into, was it Turtwig? So, whatever.
Actually, I really want to do Turtwig. I really want to do Turtwig.
That's fine. I guess I'll have to take the fucking Chimchar.
We can take the same Pokemon, guys. I mean, it's been long enough. We know these things.
Yeah. I feel like we have done that in the past, though, where everyone gets a different starter.
Yeah, we did that with Sun and Moon, and that's why I got stuck with the fucking dog water shit thing. Poplio?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the seal.
You guys enjoyed that thing.
Primarina's
didn't.
Fucking for real.
I did not enjoy that thing. That was...
Yeah.
But I got stuck with that thing. Because you took the cat and you took the Rowlet.
Yeah, Rowlet's for real, too.
And I'll be honest, my first run through Sun Moon, I benched that thing so fast. I almost always bench the starters now.
That is such... God, that is really, really good. Like, Sun and Moon had a great set of starters.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm playing through Sun and Moon again right now.
Oh, yeah?
Nice. Yeah. Trying to make a... For some reason, I felt the urge to make a living dex for Sun and Moon. Okay. So, over the next several months, fill that in before this thing comes out. Then, like, I need to make a national dex, living dex.
I left my 2DS in Belgium with Jeremy.
I think you've mentioned that. That's sad.
So I can't play those games anymore.
Well, you can. You just got to buy another one.
Yeah. I don't know if I care that much.
Hmm.
Hmm.
I am kind of tempted, but...
I was like, I have two, but I'm not loaning you one.
Wait, you only have two?
No, I want... Yes. Yes, I have two 3DSs, but my original 3DS is no longer functional.
Oh.
Which is sad.
I think at some point you had like eight, I don't know.
I have multiple DSIs, but again, like, only one of them is functional. I should just throw the other one away. I don't know why I'm hanging on to it.
Just something for your kids to throw when we're dead.
Right. That's a good point. It's going to the trash tonight.
Do we keep Dad's old broken DSi?
No, I'm being buried with that.
I'll throw it in the coffin with
you. You assume I'm dying before you? That's rich.
But you are older.
Jeez. Let's not play that game. Stop looking at me. Stop looking at me.
So, last up, last major announcement was Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Yes.
Which is, I think, the...
Correction. This is the game with ball control. So we all get to do this.
It does look like it has ball control.
Yeah.
It looks like you can just throw it in the general direction and it will be fine.
Yeah.
So I don't know about you guys, and I say that purely for the microphone because I do know about you guys, but I'm pretty pumped for this game because I think this is the sort of like ambitious Pokemon project we've been waiting for a long time. It seems like this is going to be a thing where they really say, let's really change the way we do things.
I'm being cautiously optimistic. I'm sure it's going to be good. Right now it's state because it is 2 years away. It's very bare bones minimum. It does not look good. But it's 2 years away, so it's not going to look good right now.
I think the world itself looks pretty good.
The world itself does, but, you know, like Ryan pointed out, the fucking...
What is populating the world right now is pretty rough.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point. They do have a couple of years to really refine this thing and make it look like it's a polished, finished product. And they did want to show us something.
Yeah.
So, like, the game may not look anything like what we just saw. It seems like they're probably pretty content with that little home area that they built that you start the game in.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably pretty good with those character models for who you are, but beyond that, all of this is really up in the air.
I mean, right now, it looks like fan-made games that I've seen online. I've seen people make something that looks a lot like this. Not in its grand scheme of things, but the way that the characters move and the way they throw the ball. And, like, you see the little sprite on... Not the sprite, but you see the little Pokemon walk around, and then the ball hits them, and it looks like stuff I've seen other people make online. So right now, in its early stages, it doesn't look great, but it's 2 years away, so of course it doesn't look great. I have high hopes. It's Game Freak. I like their game so far. I mean, they haven't come out with anything I dislike. But then again, I'll play the garbage ones like
Pokemon Ranger. Pinball
and Ranger and shit.
Don't you call Pokemon Pinball garbage. That is legit pinball. Pokemon Ranger, though, that gives that good.
Yeah. But I think this is definitely the direction that the series should go to. I think it's been a long enough time that they've been doing the, you know, 8 gyms and follow your routes and all that kind of formulaic setup for all of these. And yeah, like, it's kind of cool. It seemed like people's favorite part of Sword and Shield was the wild area where you kind of go around, have a full 3D view of everything. The biggest complaint people had is that the environments just weren't big enough. They didn't feel big enough. So yeah, like, absolutely, there's a lot to be excited for with this.
I mean, the Isle of Armor, it's huge. I mean, that place is great.
Yeah, I think, like, the wild area sort of format really came into its own with the DLC. Like, the wild area and the main game,
that was kind of a disappointment.
I think it was fine, but I think that they really started, like, cracking the code of what a wild area could be when you get to the actual DLC aisles, where it's just all wild area. It's just all go and do a thing.
Yeah. There's so many possibilities for this game. Because all we saw was a brief little thing. But based on what we did see, there's so many different kinds of possibilities. They can go a heavier RPG route with it. Like, there's different areas you can go to based on your Pokemon's strength.
Pokemon's pretty significant RPG.
Yeah. No. Like, other types into it.
Like, he also made this, like, World of Warcraft. Raid guild.
No, like Final Fantasy VII. You're not going to go fucking...
I'm going to go fucking, yes.
God damn, I can't think of any of the regions. It's been years since I played it. But you're not going to go into the world, the open world, and then wander this one area, because there are going to be 50 levels ahead of you. And you're like, shit, I can't go here yet. I want something like that in Pokemon. If they're going to do something that big like that, I want these things to be...
I think it's a pretty distinct possibility, because when you look at the environments... And it's kind of like the geography and the way things are laid out. You do get very strong hints of things like Breath of the Wild, Xenoblade Chronicles X, like these Monolith-developed or Monolith-assisted games where...
Monolith Soft.
Exactly, yes, Monolith Soft.
I know so much about this now. This is great. For the longest time, you guys, like, withheld this information from me. Where it's like, we have our Xenoblade thing, and now I have the Xenoblade thing, and I know it's all a lie. I know it's all poison that you slowly fed yourself into this delusion that it's
Xenoblade 2. Give him Xenoblade 2. He'll shut the fuck up.
I
don't think it's gonna. His opinion is gonna change at all with Xenoblade 2, because Xenoblade 2 is even more.
Yeah.
Do this little thing over here that gets you a 3% boost, and then do this other little thing over here that gets you a 5% boost. Yeah, it's even more micromanaging.
Well, you also did give me Hyrule Warriors, a game I really want to play.
Uh-huh. You haven't started that yet?
Not yet, no. Hmm. I've been playing Hollow Knight.
Nice. So...
But we can all agree, they totally fucked up Charlotte. Charlotte's character needs a complete rebuild from the ground up. Why are we talking about... Holy shit! I missed the days when it was just John I had to derail from Dio Blaine. Now I gotta deal with you two.
Strongly disagree, though. I think that there, there are bills that you can have with Charlotte, and when you build up your affinity enough, which I, you know, will grant you, can be tedious at times.
Grind for 20 hours, and, you know, then she can be...
Or you can just, like, give her a lot of... You know, it's a 120-hour game. You're going to have time. And just give her a lot of gifts to build up your affinity quickly. There are ways around it. There are ways to cheese the system.
Like, why does everybody...
It's dense. I will grant you, it is dense.
But why does everybody...
a blanket say Charlotte is useless? Well, no. Just do what Wes does and put the work in.
Then explain to me why, like, everybody gets a cool thing. Why, you know, fucking one dude gets the Monado at his disposal, which does, like, seven things. And Dunman gets to do, like, a weird, like, scissor sword swipe thingy, right? And then, like, What's-Her-Face just blasts the fuck out of whatever it is.
Fiora, yeah.
Yeah, and then she, like, gets to, like... Like, let the air out of her weapon. Like, so she just stands still for 5 seconds.
It would have been real cool if it was just, like, a massive heal.
Yeah. Would have been real cool if fucking anything.
So, Pokemon Legends. I hope there's a town-building element.
Me too.
Yeah.
I love town-building.
I can see the erection from here.
Mm-hmm. You should. It's massive.
It is. Aggressively.
It's aggressive.
But it is interesting that it is supposed to be set in the Sinnoh region before it became, like, developed.
Yeah, I want to build Sinnoh. Let's go.
Which you know, why... I wonder why it needed to be set in any familiar region. Like, is it just that they love the idea of having the mountain in the middle so much? Is there, like, a specific reason why they wanted this to be
Sinnoh?
I think all of the regions up until Gen 5 are supposed to be set in Japan or thereabouts.
Okay.
Some sort of a Pacific island.
Interesting.
Eastern Pacific island. Well, no, I might be wrong about that. So, yeah, I don't know. They're mixing up the starters. You get starters from three different generations, none of which are Gen 4, which is cool. I
mean, you get fucking Cyndaquil, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You get Rowlet, which is awesome. And there's Oshawott, which I never use. I have no idea if he's going to get it.
I like Oshawott. Yeah, he's cool. Yeah. But I think the reasoning was all of the final forms have some sort of connection to a feudal Japan folklore or something like that.
Someone, yeah, put the side-by-side pictures, and one's like the, was it Fusilier? It shoots the mortars, and then one's the, obviously Rowlet's the archer. And I forget what the... Oh, the samurai. Oh. Samurott is a samurai.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And I did not put that connection together.
Is Typhlosion supposed to be the Fusilier?
I believe so. What the fuck else is it going to be?
I don't know. So...
I realize as I say this, I know so little about their culture. I watched the movie Ronin, which has nothing to do with
it. Yeah, I watched The Last Samurai. I think that's enough.
Yeah. I found that
Ronin, I think I got it.
I found that Ronin movie so boring, and Last Samurai as well.
Well.
Anyway. What was I about to say? Oh, there are other starters. You see other starters roaming around.
Turtles in Time. No, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
Oh, true.
Where they go back in time to fuel Japan. There you go.
Of course.
I know all about Japan from that movie.
Yeah.
I got it down.
I am positive it is highly offensive. So there are other starters roaming around, so you know you're not just stuck with these starters. You can grab other starters if you want. There are battles, although they didn't show too much, probably because the game is still very early in development. But the battles, it didn't seem like they went to a separate battle screen. Maybe they will in the final product, or maybe we'll just kind of duke it out there in the wild where all the Pokemon are roaming around.
With moves like Slash, False Swipe, Close Combat, and Aerial Ace. Yeah.
And there's they're crossing generations with wild Pokemon as well. There's like a Rhyhorn and a Gallade.
I still want to see... I mentioned this years ago. I want to see a Pokemon game where it becomes an action RPG. Mm. Like, you throw the Pokemon ball out, Pokemon comes out, and now you control the Pokemon, and there's a hack and slash element. You can, like, hit L for your moves to pop up, and your different buttons can be a different one of the four moves.
Oh, wasn't there already a Pokemon Fighter? Like, maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, Pokemon Tournament.
Yeah, Pokemon... Well, that's just a straight-up fighter.
Yeah.
This is an action RPG where it's... Like, this they could do that with. Like, the second the Pokemon comes out, you got this free-roam area you can move around, dodge attacks, and use actual moves.
So, yeah, they throw the Pokeball, and then Pokemon Tournament happens.
Pretty much, except better. Yeah.
You don't know if Pokemon Tournament was bad.
I played it a couple of times. It's tough.
Okay.
Like, just the guys don't respond well.
Did you think about getting good?
That's usually the thing that you
gotta Wes do likes it when games hold his hand.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, I don't know, where are we going with this? Oh, you want an action RPG?
Yeah, let's go. I want to see a Pokemon action RPG.
Nah. Agree to disagree.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to see what this world ultimately looks like, what it means to truly explore it as well. Mm. If it's just going to be these big flat open plains where you're walking around and doing things, it's like, okay. I'd like to see, I don't know, maybe a little bit more adventuring and uncovering and
side quests.
Reasons to dig into the environment beyond just the fact that there's Pokemon in it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like, we don't know what the actual goals of the game are going to be. They mentioned, like, making Sinnoh's first Pokedex. It was okay, you're going around, you're catching things, but what else is it? Like, the structure of a Pokemon game is never just go fill out your Pokedex. There's gyms and like the evil organization to take down. What is it going to be in this game? What is going to be, like, the I guess, primary goal? What is the thing that is going to be working against you?
Ooh, the invading hordes of mainland Asia.
Ooh, maybe.
Are trying to take over.
Maybe it's the Hun.
Yeah. This could be very violent.
I think there's going to be some kind of villain trying to do something. And the core concept of the game is you're building Sinnoh.
Hmm.
And you're going out on side quests to gather shit.
Oh, there's going to be like survival game elements. You got to do hunting and gathering, and
you can use your Pokemon to cut down trees and shit. I mean, come on, that'd be amazing.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah,
I need to go.
I gotta go get some wood, guys.
Harvest some wood.
Come on, Scyther, go chop this tree down. I mean, you got fucking claws. Let's go.
I want meticulous, methodical resource gathering.
Pokemon game.
I need a spreadsheet with all of my potential resources.
I want to need 5 of this thing and 2 of that thing and 1 of that thing.
Uh-huh. I'm surprised you haven't asked how good the map is. I mean,
there better
it's
be
a gotta map. Be good,
and it better be brilliant.
I essentially just want this to be exact copy to Breath of the Wild. Just
with Pokemon.
Give me that map in there, Breath of the Wild with Pokemon. So let me roam around like that. Let me shield surf.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, what do you think your fast travel is around here? Do you think you actually just hop on a Pokemon and go
Bronze
around?
On shield surfing.
Do you think you can fly?
Oh, that'd be so cool if you could just pop out a flying Pokemon, hop on their back, and go.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. Be some potential for that.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's your fast travel. That's your horseback riding.
I think that was Oris that did that. Oris, actually, when you did, you got on a Latias or something and you flew around, which was pretty sweet.
And they did kind of a light version of that in Let's Go, where, you know, when you're walking around with, like, if you have, like, your Charizard or your Dragonite as your buddy, you actually, like, ride them around in your...
Same with Gengar. You know, the Gengar's back.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Apparently Gengar's are fucking huge.
Yeah.
Tiniest feet, though.
Little baby feet.
And little arms.
Yeah.
Anything else we need to address with Pokemon Legends Arceus, or are we getting toward the end here?
Yeah. The brief clip of Arceus at the end of it when they do the name... Looks like they did more work on that than the actual game.
Strongly disagree.
And then made sure to put a script at the bottom that says not in-game footage.
Right. They have to now. Like, all game companies, when they show their commercials now, they have to, like, tell you if it's in-game footage or not, because...
Like, anyone's going to remember, like, 2 years from now, this game comes out and someone's like, oh, Arceus footage isn't real.
There will be someone.
Even remember though they had the trailer from early 2021?
There will be someone who... just does not bother being informed. Who will always like, this doesn't look like the thing that I saw.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder why they ever bother showing non-in-game footage. Like, why, Wes? Why would they go through all the effort of animating that Arceus? And, you know, I'm sure it wasn't simple.
Well, making a joke.
I know you're diving too much into my joke. I know, but I want to dissect this. Like, if it's not, like, game trailers in general, not just this Pokemon one, why go through the effort of showing something that's not going to be in, like, part of your game?
Well, in theory, it could be because there's in-game cinematics.
Maybe.
Like, that's what they said with the Diablo remaster, is that they're going to be redoing all of the cinematics. They're going to, which are, by the way, are fucking slick as hell. If you ever played the game through, like, those cinematics are awesome.
I got high hopes for that remake or remaster, whatever it is they're calling it, because I think it's Vicarious Visions who's doing it, who also did the Tony Hawk 1 and 2 remasters.
Yep.
Remakes. Those are more straight remakes, aren't they?
No, the Tony Hawk 1 and 2, they're remakes. They're the levels are the same, but
Like, the opening page is different. There's, like, a bigger roster of skaters you can choose from.
They rebuilt the game, but using the old one as a template.
Yeah. But the actual levels look the same. It feels the same. Mm. They may have just brought that over, and then... I don't fucking know. I don't know.
I would have to imagine that rather than trying to clean up...
They just rebuilt in the same image.
Yeah, they're like, we're going to redraw this picture, but we're going to stare at that one to make sure it's exactly the same.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
So anyway, that's all I got. I think, yeah, what, 2 years away? We're going to have plenty of time to talk about it, and I'm sure they're going to feed us little bits of stuff throughout the year.
They're saying early 2022.
That's pretty ambitious.
I think that is ambitious. I think
that's a year away.
Early 2022, and those quotes could mean, like, June. You know, they're going to be like first half. But I wouldn't be at all surprised, especially, you know, with that ongoing pandemic that's definitely not over yet.
People are acting like it is.
Let's reopen the state of Texas.
Yes, guys, please walk around with your mask under your nose, because that does the same fucking thing.
You know, with tech, like, we're not far behind. We're not far behind from Ron DeSantis, governor of the state of Florida, saying, yeah, go ahead, 100% reopen with no masks is fine. And great. But yeah, what were we talking about?
My entire market team was sent home because one of them got COVID. Mm-hmm. And he was in, like, around a lot of them. So, like, when that came in, they're like, all right, entire market team, go the fuck home and get tested. Mm-hmm. And so one day I came in, they're like, hey, you're supposed to do mask watch today. No, go fucking work at market, because we don't have anyone in there. So,
God, like, is that...
I was the greeter. Welcome to Target. I love you. Here's a mask.
That must be absolutely miserable to have to, like, tell people to wear them. Because, like, when I go to work, there are a lot of people who are walking around reminding people, like, hey, make sure you have your mask up over your nose, because people don't give a shit. But, God, that must be absolutely miserable to have to, like, walk around a store and tell people, like, hey, you gotta wear the mask.
No, I just stand up front, and when they walk in, if they're not wearing a mask, I hand them one. Mm-hmm. And if they decide not to, I can't enforce it.
Yeah.
Which I'm not allowed to enforce it. Which one guy, it cringes me. I go, hey, you don't have a mask. Here's a mask. He pulls one out of his pocket, goes, no, I got it. And then puts it right back in his fucking pocket. I'm like, you're not even drinking anything, you asshole. Put the fucking mask on.
Yeah. In the state of Texas, they're lifting the mask mandate, but it is still going to be up to individual businesses whether they require masks or not.
Yes.
And God, that is going to be so miserable for those people working there if, like, their bosses say, like, no, we're going to abide by CDC guidelines, we're going to mask up, and then have to, like, put it on the employees to tell people coming in who are going to be just miserable assholes about it. Like, no, you have to wear a mask. Like,
I had a lady pull a card out of her wallet, and it was like, no, I have a card. She just flashed it at me and put it away. I don't know what the fucking card was, but I didn't want to, like, argue with her. It was like, golly, I...
Cool, great card.
Like, it's like, bye-bye. You have a card that says you're vaccinated or something? That doesn't mean shit. Put a mask on. You can still spread it.
Yeah.
My whole standing is, like, even when we get to the point where we have, like, enough people vaccinated and herd immunity, and even if, like, the government's not enforcing any sort of mask mandate anymore, if I, like, walk into a Publix and Publix is requiring their employees to wear a mask, I'm going to put one on too. If they got to do it, I got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't be a fucking dick.
Yeah.
I really don't get it. The mask doesn't even help you from not getting it. It
helps you more. It prevents you from giving it.
From spreading it.
Right.
So people not wearing the mask is just saying, fuck everyone. Go ahead and take this disease from me and die. Like,
it was such a frustrating thing, and it still is. But, like, when people are like, I don't want to wear a mask, I'm not afraid of getting it. It's not you we're worried about. It is everyone else we're worried about because you're not wearing a mask. Put it on. Fucking think about some other people for a change.
Put it over your goddamn nose.
We all have to do this. We all have to do it. Just be like everybody else.
I wear one for fucking 8 hours a day. Mm. It does not bug me that much. It is really not a big deal. I wear glasses. Sure, they fog up. I pinch my mask a little bit tighter, and boom, it's fixed. Like, it's not a big deal, guys. Put the damn mask on. Stop being 12. I know.
Ryan, why don't you wear masks?
Hey, I'm always wearing masks. You know.
Which is weird, because he's in his apartment by himself.
All the people can see me through the windows. I know I'm just staring the COVID right into them. Yeah, I mean, no, like, whenever I go out, I have a mask on. Just I don't care what the place is or what the circumstances are. If I'm walking down the street to like go to the coffee shop or something, like I'll take them. If I don't see anybody in sight, it's like using a blinker. If there isn't a car behind me, I don't feel obliged to use my blinker. But
yeah, who are you communicating to?
If somebody is behind me, I give them the blinker as soon as I can, just to let them know, just to make them aware. It's the safe thing to do. So if like I'm walking down the street, for starters, I will try to move to the other side of the street. But otherwise, yeah, I always have the mask on. If nobody's around, then I feel like I'm safe. I'll take the mask off.
Right,
because you may see me walking down the street without a mask on.
If I'm outside and I give people a couple of feet or so, like 6 feet or so, and you're outside, don't wear a mask. It's outside. The chances of doing that is so.
You're much safer outside when you're distanced from people. Like it takes a lot to pass it. Between people, you were all outside and keeping your distance.
That's the little virus that could in that situation. I mean, holy hell.
Yeah, but you could continue walking past somebody on the same sidewalk, and then you're both just one exhales at the same time the other inhales, and congrats, you've just
at that point, if you're that close, just cover your. You don't even have to put it on, just put it over your face real quick.
And the more people that are walking around outside, even if you are outside where there's more ventilation, the more people you pack into an area, the more dangerous it's going to get. So if you're at a theme park, put a fucking mask on.
Yes.
You're outside. Doesn't matter. There's too many of you.
So that's how I feel.
That's Pokemon.
This is really changed. I hope there's a clothing option where you can put a mask on in the game.
Oh, like an Animal Crossing.
Oh, they have that?
Oh, yeah.
You can wear a mask in Animal
Crossing. Yeah, yeah. That was like there from the beginning.
A little COVID thing. There you go. Put a little mask on.
Oh, they knew. They were planning it the whole time. Guys, how are we going to sell all these copies of Animal Crossing?
Well, I mean, mask usage was common in Asia just because of the poor air conditions there, not because they were trying to.
Well, yeah, and it's considered like a courteous thing to do. Like, if you have a cold, you mask up so you don't spread it to other people. We should do that more often.
We should, but Americans are assholes.
No, we come up with complex handshakes is what we do. that's our thing. Oh no, one thing that we didn't really talk about, like none of these game announcements directly lead us to the fact that there are like new Pokemon. It seems like there are no new Pokemon.
Nope, no new Pokemon.
Potentially 2 years.
Like, maybe they'll throw some kind of special one in Arceus.
I think regional variants are a possibility. Are they going to introduce one in Arceus just to let us know that it's now extinct?
Well, that'd be pretty cool.
You know? That'd be interesting. Be a commentary on global warming.
But at the same time, then people would be like, well, there's fossils and shit.
Isn't it so funny that, like, here's a fossil of an extinct Pokemon and you can resurrect it, and meanwhile those Pokemon are fucking everywhere? I think, like, it was in the Crown Tundra. There are little Auroros running around wild in the wild area, and when you catch them, the Pokedex entry is like, this is an extinct Pokemon. There's fucking 9 of them right there. What the fuck are you talking about? It's so
weird.
That's
a good point, you know, but hey.
But I mean, it would be cool to get some new entries. I don't know. I think if it is Game Freak, I think it's safe to assume that it's Game Freak making this Legends game. If it is them, we probably are a good ways away from a Gen 9 and some new entries. But I mean, I'm okay with that.
Here's another thought about Legends. I hope the Pokemon in it are size specific. Size accurate.
Yeah.
I want to walk around with a goddamn Onix just looming over me. Give me shade, you bitch. Like,
there was a bit of that. I don't think like every Pokemon was exactly to scale, but there were like the sort of small, medium, large scaling Pokemon in the wild area of
Gen 8. So, like, if I'm on land, I cannot use this Wailord because it will die. Like, let me just.
God, it just like splatters in the ground like a Gigantamax Pokemon does.
It just kind of like rolls around for a minute. It just.
So, I think it's bringing us to the end here.
Yeah.
Next up is the mini show. We'll talk about whatever we want. I got at least a game.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, Bravely Default. We'll get into it.
You're talking about my current run in Breath of the Wild.
Oh, nice.
I'm enjoying that so much.
Nice. Yeah, I feel like I've got a bunch of games I could talk about. Some stuff that I haven't brought up in the past that I have been playing. So, yeah.
Cool.
I could generate some content, for sure.
I could talk about Monster Hunter that I just watched last night.
The Monster Hunter movie?
Nice.
That train wreck thing.
But speaking of movies, then we'll hit the retro show.
Nice.
A lot of stuff to talk about there.
Sneakily becoming maybe my favorite podcast of the ones that we do.
Can we just open it up to pretty much anything?
Yeah.
Anything that was going on 21 years ago. There is not a major N64 game, but there is a game that we skipped the first time around called Rocket Robot on Wheels. It's a game developed by...
I love that name. I don't even know what the game is, but I'm on board.
Oh, I forget the name of the developer, but that developer went on to develop Wes's favorite games, the Infamous games.
Oh, interesting. So I
enjoy those games. You just don't like fun.
No, I hate fun and
joy
and laughter and all those things.
Yeah. I don't know why you don't like the Infamous games. I thought you would like them.
I don't dislike them. I'm just not interested. Like, if I gave you... I don't know, like a movie to watch. Like if I gave you like a copy of Erin Brockovich, do you have any interest in watching Erin Brockovich?
It is a great film. She won the Academy Award for her performance.
I've seen it.
But have you seen it recently?
No, not recently.
And there you go, man.
Are you going to watch it again?
No.
See?
But I've experienced it once.
Do you want to watch High Fidelity starring John Cusack?
Directed by Stephen Frears.
I know nothing of it.
Never mind. I'm not going to give you all that.
Let's open this can of worms. All right, so that's the end of this mini/ Pokemon show.
You just need to resign yourself to the fact that if I play Infamous, it is not going to be for at least a year. Because I have other things that I want to play on that.
Which includes... I brought other things. I brought God of War, and I brought... what else did I bring?
Again, there are other things I have in the
queue. Come on. Bloodborne, I knew you wouldn't get into it.
I'm going to try
to twist your leg and...
I want to try The Last Guardian.
With a hammer to get play that game.
I want to play Horizon Zero Dawn. I want to play Final Fantasy 15.
I'll get Horizon back from my buddy. He's got it. Mm-hmm. He's done with it anyways. But I'll get that back from my buddy.
Okay.
And then there's a Star Wars game.
I could not give a fuck.
No, you're not going to play Fallen Order.
About anything Star Wars.
But I like the Star Trek game, though.
Yeah. Give me that Star Trek game. I love the Yoda. What? Oh, is that not right?
No, the code's like, use the force, Harry.
Pretty sure Gandalf was a Cylon the whole time. So, anyway, that's it. That's the end. Until next time.
So long. Bye-bye.